Good morning, yogis. Is the sound okay? Sounds a little loud, but I'll just talk softer. So this morning, I'll offer some Dharma words and some light guidance and meditation. But you can approach this whole hour as a meditation if you'd like to. And so as Tanisara mentioned this morning, we've entered into the heart of the retreat. And this is a very fertile time. We spend the first couple of days settling, our body adjusts, our systems calm down, we feel the momentum of our lives begin to slow. And then we begin to see what's underneath the surface. When we don't have our patterns and our typical routines and the things that we typically find refuge in, whether that's our phone or a habit or a job or all of these things. When those aren't there, what remains there? And so these hidden energies, these patterns, these conditionings, these influences that affect every word that we speak, every action that we take, all of our feelings, all that we do. And these undercurrents can take many forms. Hindrances, more depth of feeling, uncovering of unconscious belief systems, unconscious patterning. Can show up in dreams. Can show up in really interesting ways, physical sensations, memories. And we really don't know how or when this will happen. We can go from one very blissful moment to, as somebody mentioned a few days ago, I think it was Tanisara, to planning our escape, trying to get away, trying to move away from these big energies that tend to come up, or these subtle energies that we uncover. And all of these things, all of these energies, all of these patterns have something in common. They're stuff of the mind. They're thinking. They're patterns. And so our work here is to observe this, to turn towards these patterns, to courageously look at them, to see them. The Buddha was very brilliant, and the more I practice and the more I study, the more I see this. And the Buddha talked about, referred to six sense doors, and so we all know our five senses. We learn those very young. But there's the sixth sense that is the thinking mind. Which, when I contemplate this and when I first considered this, it was very profound teaching for me. Because so often we think we are our thinking, right? Rather than a thinking being a process like smelling, tasting, touching. We tend to centralize thinking as being who we actually are. I've never mistaken my smelling for being me. And so there's this really skillful way of seeing the sense experience, thinking as a sense experience, because there's this decentralizing or this dethroning of thinking. I think of it as we put thinking on the periphery, and what takes its place is being, presence. Thinking can become a tool, like our hearing, like our seeing. And so this is this just realizing this and seeing this can begin to create this new patterning. It's not instant. That's much of the work that we're doing here, is unraveling this self, unraveling this sense of thinking that thinking is who I actually am. We become less identified with it. And so this is such a precious time, and it's a precious opportunity to see this constantly changing nature of the mind. And to allow it to be. Yeah. Allow it to be. And as I said before, it takes courage. You know, I see all of you here coming on a retreat like this. It takes a lot of courage. It's countercultural. This is not the norm. This is not something that people do out in the world. And so seeing you here is really encouraging. And I see all of you as courageous beings for being willing to confront this, to confront these patterns, to look into the nature. Because there's this deep impulse within you. I don't want to speak for you, but this is for me. There was this deep impulse within me that this just isn't right, the world. There's something not quite right. And we see where the centralizing of the thinking gets us. More thinking. You know? This endless cycle of thinking and suffering and samsara. We come on retreat. Coming on retreat is very profound because it's difficult to see the self when you're constantly swimming in it. So until we come to a place like this and break that cycle, and then we begin to see, it's like a fish not knowing it's swimming in water. You know, it's oblivious to the medium of water because it's been in water its whole life. So when we're in the self our whole lives and we're taught like this and society's telling us how to think and feel and what to be and what to prioritize and all of these things, it's difficult to see outside of that. Yeah. So put in a very pithy way, I like to think of it like this. We meditate or we come on retreat to see and understand what is secretly running our lives. What's underneath the surface. And to also see that we have a choice. And if you're here, you've made that choice. You've made that choice to see differently. And it's a really beautiful thing. We have this choice whether to continue in the cycle of samsara or to find a way out or to find a better way. As Dawn talked about last night, we can be very, very loyal to our suffering, and it can almost be addictive. Yeah. you know, the constant news cycles that we subject ourselves to. Getting the daily news only takes a few minutes, but sometimes we have it on all day, or we're going through our phones, you know, scrolling, suffering. It's discursive thought over and over and over again. Or there's this term, loving to hate. You know, there's that Instagram page that, you know, just makes you cringe, but you can't stop looking at it. Or that video that you can't stop looking at it. It's like, what is that? What is that thing? Because all we're doing is suffering. What is that addiction? What is that impulse? I really love this, the Utejaniya quote from last night. The sense of self is constantly looking for a way to be defined. Constantly looking for a way to be defined. And it doesn't matter whether it's through pleasure or pain or joy or sorrow. Yeah, it doesn't care. It just wants solidity. Yeah, just this attempt to find solidity. Like that first line in the Paticca-Samuppada, it's like looking for ground, looking for land, looking for a place to land. And so we bring our mindfulness to all these very subtle ways that thinking creates clinging. This attempt to create a me or a mine or a self. As I said the first night, as Kittisaro often says, when we create a me or a mine or a self, we automatically create a other. And so we automatically create a great separation. And so we look into ourselves on retreats like this, and we uncover this separation, these deep beliefs, these deeply held patterns that are these attempts to create solidity, to create the self. And so we're learning, and what all of us have been pointing to up here on stage is to let go, let be, to pay attention. To allow the natural processes to unfold, to not force. And slowly, 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 we begin to see the benefits of the letting be, of the letting go. And as we see these benefits, that gives us confidence going forward, that this is the right way. The fruits begin to come into fruition. And it can start very, very small, with just noticing little things. One of the things I really like about retreat is, as Don was talking about this last night, all the little ways you get annoyed. It particularly happens for me in the food line, because it's, because you're waiting there, and you're trying to get your food, and you're hungry, and you have all these feelings and these things, and it's like you see somebody ladling the oatmeal, and they're going so slow, and you're thinking maybe if they could ladle like me, you know, this line would go quicker, or, you know, they're taking so long scraping their dishes, or, you know, there's all of these things. And if we really examine that, it's a really fertile ground to examine how we're creating self and other right there. And that little thing. And there's a choice there. There's a choice to remain in the annoyance or to take a breath, step back, and just allow the person to get the oatmeal however they want to get their oatmeal. Allow the person to scrape their dishes however they want to scrape their dishes. We get caught in this anticipatory mind. Yeah. I think of coming to a red light and you grip the steering wheel. You're just waiting for the green, waiting for the green, waiting for the green. And as you're waiting for the green, you're suffering. It's not a wholesome state. It's an anticipatory state. And then we're always in this anticipatory mind. What's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? In the meantime, we're suffering. And so it starts very small. And so we let go. We notice the gripping, and then we literally let go. We breathe. We feel. Yeah. And that happens right here in this room on this meditation cushion. Like the emphasis last night of the letting be rather than the letting go, because that is an overused sentiment, letting go. So on our meditation cushion, we're just allowing and letting be, because there's no need to let go if you don't hold on in the first place. So we're practicing not holding on. And this is our practice. Because everything the Dharma offers, every single thing, is right here. It's right now. It's not in the future. It's not at some future time, some future space. That's anticipation again. It's all right here. Everything, the depth of the Dharma is here, now. What obstructs us is this incessant thinking, obsession with the me and my making. As we're unraveling this, undoing it, little by little by little by little. And it's important to see this as a natural process. Yeah, this purification, this cleansing, this clearing. It's natural, it's happening. And moving from this doing to being, allowing, fearless, courageous looking. So in many ways, retreat practice like this, it reveals those undercurrents. It reveals the man behind the curtain. I really love this teaching from Ajahn Chah. Quite a long quote, but it's worth it. It says, "Just try to keep your mind in the present. Whatever arises in the mind, just watch it and let go of it. Don't even wish to be rid of thoughts. Then the mind will return to its natural state. No discriminating between good and bad, hot and cold, fast and slow. No me and no you, no self at all. Just what there is. When you walk, there is no need to do anything special. Simply walk and see what is there. No need to cling to isolation or seclusion. Wherever you are, know yourself by being natural and watching. If doubts arise, watch them come and go. It's very simple. Hold on to nothing. It's as though you are walking down a road. Periodically, you will run into obstacles. When you meet the defilements, just see them and overcome them by letting them go. Don't think about the obstacles you've already passed. Don't worry about those you have not yet seen. Stick to the present. Don't be concerned about the length of the road or the destination. Everything is changing. Whatever you pass, don't cling to it. Eventually, the mind will reach its natural balance where practice is automatic. All things will come and go of themselves." So so we can stop making thinking a problem. Thinking is not the enemy. The brain thinks, the nose smells, the eyes see, the ears hear, the tongue tastes. That is the nature of what the brain does. It thinks. These hindrances, these fetters, these defilements, their thoughts, their patterns, their mental, their judgments on experience, they aren't our fault. They aren't even ours. Most of the thoughts that are moving through our head are the patterns of society or culture or family or many, many different things. We didn't create them, and so we don't have a responsibility to get rid of them. We just watch them, and they go on their own. This is a natural process. They're here to be noticed, to be seen. And that's why this is such a courageous act, because we never know what's going to come up. And so we can rely on our practice. There's such a goodness in letting go, such a goodness in letting be. And this goodness just grows and momentum builds and it becomes a way of being. Our main job is to create the conditions for these things to happen. One of the metaphors that the Buddha used that I've just recently found or been shown is in the Nava Sutta, which is the boat, which is in the Samyutta Nikaya. It's also in the Majjhima Nikaya. And he talks about a hen laying on eggs, incubating the eggs. And if the hen doesn't sit on them in the correct way, it doesn't matter what the hen thinks, the eggs won't incubate and hatch. But if the hen sits on the eggs in the correct way, then it doesn't matter what the hen thinks, the eggs will incubate and hatch. And so Buddha even says that even if the hen were to think, I don't want these eggs to hatch, if the hen was sitting if the hen was creating the correct conditions for the eggs to hatch, the eggs will hatch. And so our practice is a lot about intentionality and just practicing. The thoughts come, the thoughts go, and we're creating the proper conditions for this incubation of the teachings to happen. There's an incubation or a gestation that happens. We don't have to do. Nature does this. The hen isn't hatching the eggs. Nature, the process of nature is hatching the eggs. It's a natural process. And so I really love this image. I even bring it when I'm sitting, just this of the hen sitting on the eggs, allowing for the incubation. Yeah. So this Dharma hall, like a hen house, we're all incubating. Allowing the Dharma to move through. And there's a momentum to that. In many ways, this natural process is a lot of what Don was talking about, of turning the no into a yes. That's this allowing. It's a process of growth, of cultivation, bhavana. Cultivation, development, allowing. Another image I like is probably some of us have grown plants before from a seed, a garden. We often say that, you know, I grew those tomatoes or I grew that squash. But that's not really what happens. We don't grow anything. We don't do that. We get the seeds, we get the proper soil, we provide the proper sunlight, the water, and then we let the thing happen. So we don't grow it, we create the conditions for these things to happen. And so the conditions that we create here is the Dharma. This is what the Buddha pointed out. This allowing for a natural process to unfold through the Dharma. The Dharma allows for the flow. One of the common reference points that the Buddha uses to explain this kind of care and inner life, this care we need to have for awakening, is this term yoni, which translates to womb or the fundamental source of something. Matrix, a matrix that allows things to develop and grow. And it signifies this natural process. And really, what can be more natural than that? This term, yoniso manasikara. Manasikara, manas is mind, or the doing of the mind, the activities of the intellect. Mental activities, yoniso, comes from the womb. And so from a deep source within. Kittasaro in Awakening the Heart says this, placing the mind and its activities in the womb of awareness. To gestate, to incubate, to develop. And so our practice is to see clearly, you know, this is what mindfulness is all about, but we're also building this capacity to hold more and more, to allow for this natural process to take place. And so we're creating this space. This is what I really love about the breath practice, and specifically this Buddho. We inhale, Buddho. This allowing, awake, I am awake. I specifically use that when the mind is just sort of just going, and Buddho. Or awake, or let go, or whatever works for you. It just allows for a resting back into this womb of awareness to allow these things to incubate, to gestate, to go through the natural process. When we understand this, we don't get so flustered by the discursive thought. And then the influence of discursive thought gradually just moves away. So let's practice this now. See the thinking without getting involved, without centralizing it. So we come to the breath and open up, feel the breath in the body. Allow for space. See the natural process moving through, and then notice the little hooks that come out. Yeah. And if we notice ourselves following a stream of thought or a story, we notice that, and we rejoice in the noticing. And we come back to Buddha, awake. We let it go. We don't hang on. Sometimes things stick around a little longer. Just be mindful of it. Just feel it, know it. another teaching from Ajahn Chah. Try to be mindful and let things take their natural course. Then your mind will become still in any surrounding, like a clear forest pool. All kinds of wonderful, rare animals will come to drink at the pool, and you will clearly see the nature of all things. You will see many strange and wonderful things come and go, but you will be still. This is the happiness of the Buddha. So continuing now with announcement practice. There's a request to return any props you're not using. I think there's some of us, there's a limited amount of props. And if there's extras lying around that you see or that you don't use, please return them to the cubbies over here. That would be helpful for those that don't have what they need. Also, there are no groups today. We'll resume groups tomorrow, so keep your eye out tomorrow for times and places. And then tonight at 5 p.m., we will be holding a Q&R, questions and responses. Can't guarantee answers. And also, COVID testing is today, so I have this to read. We will all take a mandatory second COVID test this morning. These instructions have been posted on the Meditation Hall bulletin board outside. Spirit Rock will leave a test outside your dorm room door by the end of this session. Using the instructions provided in the test, take the test in your room. If your result is positive, please go directly to the retreat office and speak with a retreat coordinator. If the result is negative, you will need to bring the test results with you to lunch. And if you don't, you don't get lunch. A retreat coordinator will verify your results and check you off the list before you go into the dining hall. If you need any assistance taking your test, please go to the retreat office and a retreat coordinator can assist you. If everyone tests negative, we will post a sign on the meditation hall bulletin board no later than 4:45. Anything else? Yeah. Thank you so much. Happy practice.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.